Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court has ruled that USAID must pay international aid groups that have already provided services. President Trump had been trying to pause that funding, says ABC's Devin Dwyer.
Four conservative justices dissenting, Justice Alito writing, "I am stunned that the Supreme Court has taken this position, ordering the executive to pay out money that he doesn't want to pay out."
Some aid groups say they risk going under without those government funds. The Trump administration pushing a list of more than 440 federal properties it has identified to close or sell, including the main Department of Justice building and the FBI headquarters. Later, it backtracked on that list. A senior Canadian government official tells the Associated Press Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is not willing to lift Canada's retaliatory tariffs if President Trump leaves any tariffs on Canada. Stocks holding steadier today than the past 2 days. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. State Democrats have introduced a bill that would require the Wisconsin State Legislature to convene a special session if federal funding is frozen. The legislation was introduced by Eau Claire's Christian Phelps and named the Frozen Federal Funds Emergency Act. In a press release, Phelps called the funding freezes unlawful, reckless, and cruel, and said the state needs to be ready to provide whatever support it can for communities that lose needed funding. Republicans hold majorities in both the state assembly and state senate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is warning residents who use EasyPass about a text scam claiming they have unpaid tolls. Officials say the texts have been popping up in several states and see the scammers using the threat of late fees for unpaid tolls to gather personal information about their potential victims. The fake fees only ask for a few dollars, but if residents do enter their financial information under the link, they could lose much more. EasyPass officials say they do not text to their customers about toll payments. A healthcare clinic in Rice Lake has announced plans to consolidate and expand their services. In a press release, North Lakes Community Clinic announced it will be relocating its Birchwood Clinic operations to a new integrated facility in Rice Lake. Officials say the consolidation will allow them to offer more services at one location, making it more convenient for residents to receive whatever care they need. The newly consolidated facility will feature behavioral health services, speech and physical therapy, and dental care. The Washburn County Board of Supervisors is now accepting applications for 2025 alcohol and other drug abuse and use prevention mini-grants. The grant program provides community groups with funding for efforts to develop healthy communities. The county has offered the funding since 1987, and this year there is $10,000 available through the Washburn County Community Alliance for Prevention. Applications for the grant funding can be submitted online, and individual organizations can receive up to $1,000. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers keep their kicker. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers re-signing place kicker Brandon McManus to a new 3-year contract worth over $15 million. McManus, who turns 34 in July, will be guaranteed $5 million and given a $5 million signing bonus. The New York Jets releasing Devontae Adams, and now fans tweeting the Packers should bring the 32-year-old receiver back to Green Bay. College basketball, Marquette takes on UConn tonight at the Gamble Pavilion in Connecticut. The Badgers in Minneapolis for the border battle with Minnesota. NBA, the Bucks with a 127-121 win over the Hawks in Atlanta. Giannis with his 7th triple-double of the season. Doc Rivers asked about the mix of young and veteran players on this Bucks roster.
We're kind of mixed. We play young and old, but we're not only just veteran players. We have, like, straight grown-ups. I keep saying it. Everybody on our team is over themselves. There's nothing. There's no stuff. What I call clutter. The guys just play together. They want to do right. It's an absolutely fantastic team to coach.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A winter storm warning is in effect until 3 o'clock. With snow winding down this afternoon, the winds are whipping, gusting up to 40 to 50 miles.
It's 26 degrees at our studios.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early, Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the noon news, Todd Alba takes over from noon to 2 p.m. Today, Todd's going to recap the joint address to Congress last night, joined by Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, and also Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Should be a really interesting show. Mm-hmm. Join Todd today from noon to 2 p.m. right after the 12 o'clock news. He joins us every month to talk all things agriculture. Delighted to welcome back the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, is joining us. Good morning, Darren. Thanks for making time for us. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. I'm doing well. Just getting blown away in the wind here in western Wisconsin.
Did you guys get a lot of snow?
We've got probably 1.5 inches on the ground right now, but they're talking maybe up to 8 inches here today. So.
Oh, you are so lucky. Is that a good thing, though? Just to veer off a little bit, Darren, because we hear so much about drought and dry conditions, is this welcome moisture or is this just making it worse?
No, this is really welcome moisture because it's at a time of year where we can't do anything in the fields anyway. So right. Anytime you get moisture on top, it sinks down in and gives you that subsoil moisture that you really need in the middle of summer when it gets hot and could get dry too. So, and the snow we're getting is a wet snow. It's not a dry snow.
Right.
So that adds to that moisture.
Well, that's good. That's good news. So much to cover. There's been a lot going on lately. I want to start off, Darren, by talking about these grant freezes that we have talked about with a couple of other people. And from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of these programs that were offered, these grants that were offered under the Biden administration, required farmers in some instances to invest in things, and then they were going to be compensated, or the cost of this investment would be subsidized by these grants from the federal government. Is that accurate?
Yep, that's pretty accurate. Most of them you have to prove the work before you can receive the funds. There are some that it's you can request the funds ahead of time to cover like equipment purchases, construction issues, things like that. But the majority of the grants, whether it's REAP grants or grants to do transportation projects, EQIP grants are to do like stream bank improvements, fence line improvements, different things like that in the farm. The last two there, you have to do the project first and then get reimbursed. And everything's signed under contract, so there's contract between the landowner and the most time the county NRCS or FSA office, Farm Service Agency office, NRCS is Natural Resource Conservation Service. So there is signed contracts for all of these situations that we're seeing out here.
And a lot of these farmers, again, have already invested this money, and now these grants are frozen. So what does that mean for Wisconsin farmers?
Well, you know, it's scary, really, especially when you're looking at some of the projects. And I know of two locally here, a neighbor that has a 600 sheep milking facilities, and then they have a creamery there too, and have won many awards over the years that this place has been operating. They put in a solar array last year, and the REAP grant that they're supposed to be getting is $70,000. And around the 30th of January or so, they received that notice saying that your grant is in the freeze mode right now. So looking at $70,000, you know, that's just not small change. And for any producer, really, you know, he's going to have to go to the bank and refinance in order to keep that project moving. It is up and running right now, but there's the installers, the solar panel providers, they all need to be paid too. So, you know, at one point, are they going to say, you know, we need our money, and then it's up to the farmer mm-hmm. to find it and get it?
Well, and we've talked with you before, Darren, about the fact that most farmers' money is tied up either in their equipment or the land or a seed or all of those things. It's not like most of us don't have $70,000 just laying around in cash that we can easily access. And I think that's even worse for farmers.
Yeah, yeah. The true saying about the farm situation is we're always asset rich and cash poor.
Yeah.
So hardly ever have any cash laying around. But, you know, certainly if you have a good banker and an honest relationship there, most of the time you will get an operating loan or the dollars you need to keep things going. But, you know, this is a different situation where you have a bigger project that you were trying to invest in your future. And so operating loans don't necessarily fit into that category, and which means it's probably going to need to be refinanced. And then you put yourself in a capital risk right away with them extra dollars having to go to a project that you were of the understanding that you were going to get some assistance from the federal government.
When it comes, Darren, to the contract that you make with the government on these sorts of projects, is there any action to be taken from the farmer? Can they say, look, we signed a contract. You said you were going to do this. I have equipment that's now working. You owe me the money. Is it something that can be taken to court? Or once they get that letter says frozen, that's the end of the discussion until they get an update?
Yeah, you know, at this point, there is a few different groups, national groups, that are looking at those possibilities. So if a farmer or a local businessman is in that situation, there's possibilities that they can join those actions versus going out there on your own. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time, if you're that little dairy farmer or sheep farmer or grain farmer looking to collect, it's going to take a lot of money out of your back pocket to get it. So, you know, my suggestion would be to make sure you're aware of these national groups that have the dollars and the attorneys to help in that process. And the biggest thing is make sure that you're fulfilling your side of the contract. Mm-hmm. So that way Uncle Sam can't come back and say, well, you didn't fulfill it. Yep. So you broke the contract.
Yep. If you're just joining us, Darren Von Ruden is our guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. And we're talking about these grants that have been frozen now under the Trump administration for work that a lot of farmers have already invested in. And now they're just kind of in limbo. What are you hearing from your members, Darren?
Well, a lot of worries right now. You know, uncertainty is never a good thing. And certainly with this, you know, when you're looking at having to go to your banker and make that ask, you know, at that point in time that it comes, you know, it just adds another layer of stress besides what we're already under. And certainly with the president's actions in the last 36 hours or so here, too, with the tariff wars going now, that's just another level of uncertainty that farmers are facing.
Well, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday when those tariffs were announced. And I've seen some people say, well, so what? So, you know, short-term pain, you know, China's going to fill in the void or Brazil's going to fill in the void for the soybeans, but they're going to come back. That's not what happened the first time around under the Trump administration. The market share that our farmers lost during that go-around have not come back.
Yeah, they haven't, and there isn't, you know, that big of a market anywhere in the world. So once you lose a portion of that huge market, you're never going to get that back. Brazil had been building their infrastructure to get to that point where if something like this ever happened, they were ready to jump in. You know, the only thing that could possibly help us to get that, and I don't wish this upon any farmer anywhere in the world, is, you know, droughts or, you know, other natural disasters that would destroy part of the crop or a good chunk of the crop. Then certainly they would have to come back to the U.S. If necessary. But with the way, you know, crop production has been going around the world, everybody's becoming more independent and not necessarily needing a foreign market to supply their own needs.
I just find it very, I don't know what the word is, but the fact that Brazil said we should build up our efforts and build up our abilities because America is unstable in what they're producing, like this situation. So if we can take the market share, we can do it. Let's invest now in our farming and our ability to export, because if America has another one of these again, we can jump in. And they did.
Yep. And, you know, just, you know, it's funny how short our history memory is.
Because, no doubt. Know,
five short years ago when we seen that same situation, or six, I guess now. But, you know, the federal government forked out over $2 billion to subsidies to crop farmers during that process. And, you know, that was market share that farmers lost, and we still haven't regained it. Farmers had invested billions of dollars, I shouldn't say billions, millions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars into programs to work with our overseas partners to actually build that trust and relationship through checkoff dollars. And those checkoff dollars basically got thrown away in that trade war because we lost all of those partners in other countries.
I've seen some lawmakers comment that, why are we exporting our goods? We should be feeding our own people. That seems to me to display a certain amount of ignorance about how markets work.
Yeah, just a little. You know, and it's funny, too, because they, you know, think that food is free sometimes, but yet they don't want to. They don't want to supply those most needy people in this country with a safe, adequate food supply neither. And, you know, it's all about let's making sure that the rich get richer. And they do that on the backs of not only the farmers, but the consumers too.
Absolutely.
Is there any concern, Darren? We spoke to a gentleman who has a channel on YouTube called The Back 40. We talked to Will a couple of weeks ago about his concern that the goal is to see all farms in the country eventually go to big corporations and just corporatize all of our farms. Do you hear much about that?
That's been a huge concern of our organization for decades already. You know, and we're certainly getting a lot closer to that. In dairy, poultry is already pretty much there. Pork production's there. Crops are certainly heading that way. When you're looking at land prices around the country, are 2 to 3 times higher than what they were 5-6 years ago. And only the largest investors can afford to pay that kind of money for the land. So, you know, we're concentrating that control of our natural resources into, you know, fewer and fewer hands. And at some point when it becomes just one or two, this country is going to be in a world of hurt.
Darren Von Ruden is our guest. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
The 1849 ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, if you have a guest or some issue going on in your community that you would like to get spotlighted, send us an email at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. And if you have a complaint, we make sure that Calvin sees it and he'll take care of it right away.
Send it to darren.von.rudin @hotmail.com.
Darren will address it for us, yes. Darren Von Rudin is our guest. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and we are talking about the grants that were offered under the Biden administration. Now that money has been frozen, even though the money's already been shelled out on the front end. That's what we were talking about before we got to the break. I do want to talk, Darren, about something that it seems like, oh my God, both sides agree on, is this right to repair bill. So this, this is where a farmer would be allowed to fix his own equipment rather than downloading some app for several thousand dollars or taking it to the dealership only to fix it. This would give farmers more freedom to fix their own stuff.
Yep. It's, the big issue is that hardware that we need, which is most likely an app to figure out what's going on within the tractor because of the electrification of tractors. And that means the components to diagnose all the issues around it. Most tractors are still diesel fuel or gas. There are electric tractors that are coming online, but certainly not right now. But the average farmer today can't fix their equipment like they could 10, 15 years ago. And the bigger issue there too is that those local mechanics that are not working for the dealership because they want to be that self-independent provider of a service, it costs too much for them to buy this hardware or that app in order to fix the newer tractors that could come into their shop. And so we're really seeing, those providers are being harmed by the current system of, monopoly control is probably the best way to put it, because they want to be able to control where those pieces of equipment are fixed, and they want to be able to charge you what they can. Locally here, we've got a couple of different mechanics that work on John Deere tractors, charging $70 or $75 an hour, and the local John Deere shops in their operations are charging $140 an hour. So, as a farmer that's cash strapped, as we were talking earlier, is most likely going to want to go to that smaller independent mechanic and get the tractor fixed. But in reality, that local mechanic is probably going to have to start charging that $130, $140 bucks an hour to cover his costs that it takes to get that app or hardware to diagnose what's going on within that tractor.
Well, and we had talked to Brad Paff about this a couple of weeks ago, too, and he pointed out, you know, if your tractor breaks down and you're in the middle of the field harvesting something, it's not like someone's right down the road who can come right out there and get out there and fix it right away. You could be waiting for days or a week.
Yeah, and some of that hardware that needs to be replaced once they figure out what's going on with the tractor could be 2 to 3 weeks out because of the issue of supply chain issues. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, yeah, and most dealerships don't have 3, 4, 5 tractors just sitting on the lot that they're ready to let go out to replace that one while it's being fixed. So, you know, and you look at coming up here in 6 weeks, we're going to be in the middle of planting season. And when you're halfway done and that main tractor breaks down, you're really dependent on that to be fixed in a short time frame versus long time frame. And, you know, that supply chain issue certainly was bad in 2020 because of COVID, but we're still seeing that effect today on a lot of equipment that farmers need in a short time frame when it's planting and harvest season.
I truly just, I do not think people can grasp how expensive it is to farm in modern America. It's just, I mean, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars are being spent to make sure that we have food. And when something like that happens, and the idea of like your tractor being in the field and then saying, well, this part has to be ordered from Europe, maybe a month, then what are you to do? I mean, it's ridiculous. And my only question is, or not a question, and this is for everybody, really. It's like we said, it's bipartisan. We love bipartisan. But the problem is bipartisan doesn't mean passed. It means there could be one person saying, well,
I don't like it.
No, I don't like it, so we're not going to do it. Sorry.
Are you hopeful that this will get passed, Darren?
Well, we're hopeful. There's two states for sure that I know of that have passed similar language, Colorado and Minnesota, Montana, Michigan, and a few others that have went through the process. It just didn't get passed in the first go around, but they're going back at it again. There's also a national lawsuit against John Deere filed by the bunch of attorney generals around the country to make this happen too, to allow those independent mechanics and independent farmers the ability to fix that equipment that comes into their shops or that they own.
We've only got about 2 minutes left, Darren. Real briefly, we talked again about the hollowing out has begun at NOAA. Now, the National Oceanic Administration, which oversees the National Weather Service, accurate weather information is kind of important to farmers, isn't it?
It is, you know, because we can look at the weather map one day and decide, can we work up a bunch of fields and get ready to plant tomorrow? Or do we have to wait 2-3 days? You know, if there's a streak of rain that's coming through, it means that you're going to have to wait. And similar in the middle of summer when you're trying to make good high quality hay, you don't want to cut it and then have a week of rain on it.
Right.
So, you know, there's timing issues there. But then, you know, talking with some of our friends on the coast, looking at the fishermen going out into the oceans, they depend on that system a lot more than even the farmers here in the Midwest, because if a big storm is coming, they need to know about it. And tides change, you know, in minutes versus hours.
Yep.
So they need those warnings a lot faster.
Darren Von Ruden is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He joins us once a month. Thank you so very much, Darren. It's always really a great segment, and we learn so much. Really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Jane, and thank you, Greg. And Calvin, it's good seeing you again.
Take care. We'll see you next month. News coming up next. When we return, we'll lighten it up. A little audio sorbet. We're talking movies. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
for WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Opioid deaths are on the decline in Wisconsin as settlement funding from national litigation streams in. The funding has been used for harm reduction efforts, public awareness campaigns, and school-based prevention programs across the state. Thanks to those efforts, officials say opioid deaths in the state last June fell to their lowest levels since April of 2020. Wisconsin will have received about $780 million from the various settlements by 2028. 30% goes to state programs, with the rest going to local programs. State Democrats have introduced legislation to ban the use of algorithms and artificial intelligence to raise rent prices in Wisconsin. The bill was introduced by State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Breanne Brown in an effort to slow rapidly rising housing costs in the state. A Department of Justice lawsuit claims landlords have used those programs to unfairly increase rent prices and say it violates antitrust laws. Wisconsin did not join that multi-state lawsuit, but has seen one of the sharpest housing cost increases in the country. Sawyer County authorities are still working to identify a suspect in a string of suspected arsons in November. According to law enforcement authorities, nobody was injured in the six structure fires, but some homes, businesses, and a veterans center suffered significant damage. The Sawyer County Sheriff's Office is working with the Wisconsin Department of Justice to analyze further evidence from the fires. Sheriff's Office officials are also reminding residents to contact them if they have any information about the suspected arson incidents. A Duluth nonprofit is raising money to combat rising food insecurity in the region. Chum has launched their Minnesota March Food Share campaign and is hoping to raise $80,000 and accept 40,000 pounds of food donations. Last year, they raised $125,000 and received nearly 55,000 pounds of food. Officials say every dollar and every pound of food will go towards addressing food insecurity in the region. The campaign will run through April 6th, and donation specifics can be found online. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A complete unknown drew a complete goose egg at the Oscars despite eight Academy Award nominations. To make matters worse, according to The Hollywood Reporter, the subject of the Bob Dylan biopic, also known as Bob Dylan, was invited to both present and perform at the ceremony, but declined on both fronts. Mick Jagger ended up presenting in his place. At the beginning of the show, host Conan O'Brien joked that Timothy Chalamet learned how to sing so well in preparation for playing Bob Dylan, he almost didn't get the role. Tabloids love their clickbait. After finding out that Mikey Madison won the Oscar for Best Actress as Anora, tabloids made a big stink that Demi Moore gritted her teeth and seemed upset. A closer look at the situation by a lip reader revealed Moore turned to the person next to her and said, "Nice." One clickbait tabloid in particular said later in its article that Moore was very happy for Madison. Now that's journalism. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A winter storm warning is in effect until 3 o'clock. With snow winding down this afternoon, the winds are whipping, gusting up to 40 to 50 miles per hour, crashing our temperatures tonight down to the teens. It's also blowing and drifting some of that snow around, making it hard. Right now, it's 25 degrees.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk a little show business with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Rich LoCascio from Civic Media's WRJN drops by to talk pro wrestling. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock. I know where I'm Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caltini on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewer spring training continues. The Crew taking on the A's. That's going to happen tomorrow night, 7:05. So mark it on your calendar. Catch the game on several of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates. That includes WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew and the A's this Thursday night, tomorrow night at 7:05 p.m. Coming up to wrap up the show, as always, this shouldn't be a thing. Today, the Flipper Flips Out edition. There will be a video element as well in the show notes after the show is over. And if you ever miss an episode and you would like to go back and catch it, you can certainly subscribe to us as a podcast.
Yeah.
You can also go to our website at civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matt Nair on Air. There's an archive of about 100 past shows divided into 2-hour segments.
Yes.
And you can even download Tisbet.
Exactly.
As an individual segment, if you like.
Do you have an extra 3 minutes and 54 seconds of your day that you just need to fill up with some content?
Something fun.
This shouldn't be a thing as a podcast in your device.
We wanted to talk, as we always do, for the last hour, half hour of the program. We try to lighten things up a little bit because I really do think it's important for our health and our mental health.
Yeah. What do we call that?
We call it audio sorbet. So here's the question for you today. Oscars were handed out Sunday night.
Yep.
Adrian Brody is still talking.
Oh, Bert!
One of the longest accepted speeches in history.
The longest.
The longest?
5 minutes and 40 seconds.
And it was completely humble and, yeah, none of that. It was like, a really. Anyway, so the Oscars were handed out Sunday night, and we started talking about movies before we got on the air.
Yeah.
And it led us to this question. What is the movie that everybody loves but you?
Yeah. Does nothing for you.
You just don't get it. You don't like it. It doesn't, you don't, never don't laugh. What is the movie that everybody else loves but you? There's no wrong answers.
Nope. There's no judgment.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You want to share yours?
I will start.
All right.
I will start.
Greg can start.
This will be all the men over 35 or so will be gunning for me.
Outraged?
Yes. I did not, do not enjoy the film Caddyshack.
With Chevy Chase?
With Chevy Chase, with Ted Knight, Rodney Dangerfield, bunch of other people.
Was that from the late 70s?
Early 80s.
Early 80s.
It was the first, no, it was the second National Lampoon movie, or made by the National Lampoon people. Now, here's the thing is, I watched it far past the age you're supposed to see for the first time. I feel like most, I'll get general, and don't accuse me of being a sexist here. Most dudes see Caddyshack between the ages of maybe 10 and 12.
Okay.
Right when you're being a boy.
Well, and scatological things make you laugh,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
I get that.
So I saw it later in life. I saw it in my 30s, my late 30s. And I was like, this movie's dumb. This movie is so dumb. And like, it's like one of those movies where men constantly quote it, and posters in their garages are man caves. And I just sit there going, it's a movie about golf.
Essentially.
And class warfare, because one person told me.
Yes, moderately about class warfare. We do have a clip from the classic Caddyshack. Should Greg lose his man card over this? Calvin, let's play this clip from Caddyshack, please.
Can I ask you something?
Sure thing. Shoot, Timmy.
Danny.
Danny. You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good. Danny, this is in Russia. Is this Russia? This isn't Russia, is it?
Nah.
I didn't think so. Stop thinking. Let things happen. And be the ball.
Be the ball.
Be the ball. No, 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 no.
That's one of the best lines in the movie, actually.
Yeah. I mean, this is a time when Chevy Chase was really funny. Like, he is one of the best dry wit American comedians to do it. But the movie just overall is like,
it's gag after gag after gag, right?
It's just, ugh, no, thank you.
What is the movie that everybody else loves but you? 855 752 4842. Angie from Monroe is on the line. Good morning, Angie. Thanks for joining us. What is your film that everybody else loves and you're like, yeah, no?
Star Wars.
No judgment. Sorry.
I can't. I've never seen a single Star Wars. I have zero interest, anything like that. None. Zip. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Not even curious.
You have to, there's a lot of Star Wars fans like myself who say the following. I get it.
Harrison Ford's really adorable in that movie, Angie.
I couldn't even tell you who's in it.
Not curious.
Yeah. All right.
That's all right.
Don't apologize.
No, that is perfectly fine. No judgment zone. I slipped. I apologize.
Nobody who's calling or texting or live stream commenting, do not apologize for your opinions on this. This is no judgment. We all have them. We have the texts have started flowing in.
Excellent.
Someone listening on WMDX.
Thanks, Angie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Angie. As well as Steve from Milwaukee, both say Napoleon Dynamite.
Thank you.
Okay. You know what?
Thank you.
Okay, you know what? We said no judgment.
I've tried
to watch that
movie.
It is a beautiful, simple, innocent film.
I wanted to stick needles in my eyes in the first 15 minutes.
I don't think that's true at all, but you just could have just turned it off. That's fine. It's the only one I'll go to bat for, honestly.
Napoleon Dynamite.
Because Napoleon Dynamite, I saw it the first time and I hated it. And then my friend kind of like sat me down and said, here's the backstory of the film. And I saw it from a different light. And I love the film. I think it's a beautiful, fun. They don't make movies like that because it's so innocent and it's humor. There's no double entendres. There's no like excessive violence, stupid pratfalls and comedy. Well, there's pratfalls. There's physical comedy. But it's made by a kid who loves movies. And it shows. And I feel it. And I love it.
You can love it. You can love it. What is the movie everybody else loves but you hate?
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Todd from DePere, listening in Green Bay on WGBW. I have two, Pulp Fiction and Shawshank Redemption. Can't get into either. That is art that I don't understand. That's fine.
I understand Pulp Fiction. I watched it once and I'm like, I'm good for that.
I can't do Pulp Fiction. Love Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, love that film. That's
but again, there's no wrong answer. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us. The movie that everybody else loves and you're like, no.
I don't know. There's so many the one they just talked about, Pulp Fiction, that definitely, I never got that one. And then there's all the Chevy Chase where they do their trip movies. Those are just, oh my God. And then what was the other one? Oh, Wayne's World. I'm like, oh my God, really?
Cindy, we just said a movie.
Cindy, get it out. Get it all out, girl. It's a cleansing segment
for
you.
Well, I could probably go for another 10 minutes.
I have no doubt.
Thank you, Cindy. Really appreciate it. The movie that everybody else loves and you hate. Julie from Wausau, the dance number at the beginning of La La Land was good, but it was all downhill from there. I hated it.
I didn't know that movie was a musical, and me, my wife, my brother and sisters-in-law, we all went to go see a movie, and we're like, let's go see La La Land, even though I really wanted to see a different movie, and I got big-footed on it. The moment it started, the crane on the camera started moving, I'm like, this is a musical!
Did you feel like you'd been tricked?
I was so angry. I'm like, oh, cool. Don't get me wrong. Love Ryan Gosling, but a white man saves jazz.
Yeah, right. And he didn't sing all that well.
No.
855-752-4842, a movie that everybody else loves, and you're like, I don't get it. Calvin, what is your film?
So mine is The Goonies. It's a movie that my mom and her brothers all love, and I just could never sit through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Do you think you were too old?
I think maybe I was too old, and I think I also was in a phase of that I didn't like old movies at that time.
Okay.
At the same time, then I have to take that back a little bit because Ferris Bueller's Day Off is one of my favorite movies ever.
Interesting.
I know. But I don't know. And I know it came out later and it's a different premise sort of, but I think Stand By Me is a lot better movie than The Goonies.
I would agree with you.
Well, those are totally
different. They're totally different
things.
I know.
One's dramatic and one's a comedy, yeah. But they're both premises of coming of age and looking for something.
Fair, no judgment.
Fair point.
No judgment.
Fair point.
What is the movie everybody else loves but you hate or you just don't get it? 855-752-4842. Stephanie from Madison joining us on the line. Good morning, Stephanie. What is your movie?
Well, good morning. You know, first, I just want to say, in defense of Caddyshack, it is rated R, so I sure hope 11- and 12-year-olds aren't watching it.
So, fair point.
But my least, but the movie that I really, really don't get, and everybody loved it. Now, I saw it later, and, you know, so maybe that's what it was, Forrest Gump. I just
interesting.
Don't get it.
Never did.
You are not alone, Stephanie. I did not love that movie. I the running thing. I'm going to go run for a year.
If you want to get really like weirded out, like the it's based on a book, and the book and the movie are nothing alike. And in the book, Forrest Gump is a horrible person.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's like a drunk. He's terrible.
Interesting.
Look up all the movies where Tom Hanks either plays a real person or a person from a book. They almost always change it so much because Tom Hanks is Tom
Hanks.
He's
so likable.
Look up the differences between Captain Phillips' real life and the movie. It'll make you upset.
Interesting. Thanks a lot, Stephanie. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. A movie everybody else loves, and you just, it just doesn't grab you. Carla from Eagle River on the text line listening on WXCO. I couldn't stand Everything Everywhere All at Once. I didn't get it. I watched it, Carla. I liked maybe the first half hour.
I really liked that movie.
And then I was the whole hot dog fingers. And then the end, I was so lost. I was so lost.
Well, then maybe it's about seeing it again to like, because sometimes you see it a second time, things open up. But I get that too. Brian texts in, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. OMG, it's like a nightmare of a vacation. That's a very uncomfortable movie to watch.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Yes, I understand that. I wouldn't say I dislike it, but it's not a movie I go to, whereas other people are like, I love that movie. And I love John Candy.
Yeah. So many texts. We're trying to get them all. Texter on WAUK. I had a shirt in high school. This is from Robin Green Bay on WGBW. I had a shirt in high school that said, the boat sank, get over it.
Dang.
Never watched the movie. I assume Titanic.
Yes.
And
yes,
still refused to watch it. Robin Green Bay. Texter on WAUK. Top Gun Maverick. I was so bored with most of it. I went to the theater with my two sons. One of them fell asleep and the other one loved it.
Jane, what about you real quick?
Calvin, just play the clip first. Everyone will know what this movie is after you hear this clip.
I love you. You complete me.
Ugh.
And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah, please.
You had me at hello.
Oh, kill me now. Just kill me. I hated that movie. Jerry Maguire.
No, we got it, Jade.
Hated
Jesus
that
almighty.
Movie with a hot heat. I just don't like it.
Cesar in Madison on MDX says, mine is Star Trek. Everybody I know hates me for it.
We don't hate you.
I don't hate you.
We don't hate you.
Jane probably hates it.
No. Gary in Oregon listening in Madison. Barbie. Tried to watch it twice. I lasted 5 minutes.
Love that movie. Love that movie.
Kara from Sun Prairie. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I thought The Matrix was lame. I remember the dialogue being really dumb, and I felt like a third grader could have done a better job. That's Kara from Sun Prairie.
And Sue from Franklin says, don't hate me, but It's a Wonderful Life. I get that.
No judgment.
No judgment, and I get it. It's just one of those movies that feels forced upon you by other people who love it, like The Wizard of Oz. You're like, I don't need to see this.
Thank you, everyone, for participating. We're out of time. We can still get so many texts coming. We're out of time. We're going to wrap up the show when we come back with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Flipper Flipping Out Edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're hugging with your baby, he'll ask for an amenity.
Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
When you're hugging with your baby, he'll ask for an amenity.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Anti-authoritarian feelings ran high in the years before and after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the Declaration's litany of complaints against the king suggests. So it's unlikely the Founding Fathers would have supported expansion of presidential powers and absolute immunity for official acts. The July 1st opinion from the so-called originalist members of the U.S. Supreme Court invokes Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Papers vision for a vigorous and energetic executive. Without that, quote, the president would be chilled from taking the bold and unhesitating action required of an independent executive. But that's not the whole story. Three other prominent framers of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Mason, feared the opposite and pushed for a multi-person executive council to decentralize power. Ultimately, they compromised, stipulating that the president should seek advice and consent from the Senate for appointments and treaties. Constitutional Convention delegate James Wilson said during debates on the Constitution, "Sir, we have a responsibility in the person of our president. He cannot act improperly and hide either his negligence or inattention. He cannot roll upon any other person the weight of his criminality." He continued, "Far from being above the laws, he is amenable to them in his private character as a citizen and in his public character by impeachment." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, jam-packed show, Jim Santel, who is our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings across the network from 9 to 11 to talk all things legal. We are not lawyers, but we're lawyer adjacent.
And this is the beginning of a weekly segment.
Yes.
Every Thursday.
And if you have a question for Jim, please send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us. Jim Santel joining us tomorrow at 10:30 in the 11 o'clock hour. Did you know dogs can get Alzheimer's?
Nope.
Dogs apparently can get Alzheimer's. We're going to talk to Dr. Calico Schmidt. She is a veterinarian with the UW-Madison Vet Medicine.
Yeah.
And I there are some people love their pets, justifiably so. And I just think it's important that there's potential for bird flu now infecting our cats and things like that. But we're going to talk about dogs and Alzheimer's tomorrow. She's a puppy. She'll be fine. J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So join us tomorrow morning for Matinair on Air starting at 10 a.m. Right now, 11:53. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Today, it's from the Associated Press. Charlotte Graham McClay with the byline. The headline reads, "One moment, calm waters. The next, a 900-pound dolphin landed on their boat." In Wellington, New Zealand, a fishing trip turned berserk for three men when a dolphin weighing more than 900 pounds appeared to fall out of the sky before crash landing in their small boat. Dean Harrison and two friends were in this. It's only 16 feet long. It's not a great big boat.
I'm surprised it didn't destroy the boat.
Well, here, just wait.
Okay.
They were fishing off of the far north coast of New Zealand's Northern Island while dolphins are frolicking around them. They saw a shadow across the sun and then heard a crash, and then chaos broke out. This dolphin decided to jump on board and say hello. 1 minute, everything was fine. And then, like lightning striking, there is a huge dolphin in our boat thrashing around, breaking everything. The dolphin broke every single fishing rod we had in the boat, severely damaged the bow as the three guys are hanging on. One man suffered minor injuries to his arm. All three are fine. The dolphin is fine. The guys, well, now we have this 900-pound dolphin in our boat. What are we going to do with it? They alerted New Zealand's conservation agency, got directed to a boat dock about an hour away where there were people waiting to help this dolphin. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, and there is a video and we'll include this in the show notes. In the meantime, they're spraying the dolphin. They've got towels over him so he doesn't get sunburned. And so I know. And so it stays moist and things like that. He's fine.
This is the second water creature related thing that gets video too. The last one was someone just get, I think Calvin.
Oh, it was the whale.
Mouthed by a whale that spat out.
He got gummed by the whale.
And this one, the dolphin's like, are you daring? Are you fishing?
The people who were waiting for them to get there, once this happened, again, it was an hour away. Awaiting this dolphin, they named him Tohu, which means a sign in Maori, the Maori language. Mm-hmm. The dolphin got to swim away. We all got to walk away. And now we have a story to tell. It's a good ending in a situation that could have been very different. And now he has named his boat Tohu after the dolphin that they helped save.
I love this
story. Isn't that nice? And again, check the show notes. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on Matt Nair on Air. And look for This Shouldn't Be a Thing. There is a video of this, not of the dolphin landing on them, but as they were transporting him. It's all fine. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. Todd going to be joined by Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor from the Lincoln Project. They're going to break down the campaign speech that was given last night before a joint session of Congress. I was going to watch it myself, and then unfortunately I tripped and landed on some needles that ended up in my eyes, and I couldn't watch the whole
thing. You and your eyes and needles are a
problem.
Gotta
be careful.
I just fell asleep.
Oh, well, that's okay. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means everything, and you make my heart happy. I cannot thank you enough. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll break down the presidential address with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project and see what's ahead for Ukraine. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey, Badger fans, the time-honored Crazy Legs Classic is back in Madison on Saturday, April 26th. Take on the 8K run, 2-mile walk, or 8K wheelchair race, and kick off spring with your fellow Badgers. The Crazy Legs Classic is presented by Everlight Solar, J.D. McCormick Properties, Odyssey Greek Yogurt, Mueller Sports Medicine, and WMTV 15. Sign up now for one of Madison's greatest springtime traditions on Saturday, April 26th at CrazyLegsClassic.com. That's CrazyLegsClassic.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
From ABC News, this is Michelle Franzen. Four Democratic U.S. mayors called to testify before the GOP-controlled House Oversight Committee today over their sanctuary status as the Trump administration pushes to deport undocumented immigrants. New York Mayor Eric Adams telling lawmakers part of fighting crime in his city includes creating a safe environment for people to report crimes.
I must create an atmosphere that allows every law-abiding resident, documented or not, to access vital services without fear of being turned over to federal authorities.
Mayors of Boston, Chicago, and Denver also testifying. The tariff trade war ramping up. China leaders responding today saying it's ready to fight any type of war and fight to the end. Lawmakers are offering condolences after the sudden passing of Democratic Congressman Sylvester Turner of Texas. He attended President Trump's joint address of Congress last night. The cause of death has not been disclosed. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly.